Stay standing. Thank you so much, Andy. Stay standing. Can we just put our hands up like this? Just put your hands out. Oh, we thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just begin to thank him right now in advance for what he's going to do tonight. He's going to do something so wonderful because we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And when you talk about the Holy Spirit, what you talk about grows. What you focus on grows. And when we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about the Holy Spirit like he's distant, like he's not here. The Holy Spirit, he is in the room. He is right here with us. We are talking about someone who is filled with glory and power. And we're going to talk about the things that he's done, the things that he's doing. And I fully expect for them to manifest in this room today. So set your heart and your expectations high. And what he's going to do. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, right now. We yield to you. We honor you. We recognize you as the source of it all, the one who is leading and guiding us, the one who is our helper, who is comforting us, who is counseling us. Holy Spirit, you teach us the fear of the Lord, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, all these things, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to dwell inside us right now, to be in this room right now. And God, as we talk about you, I just thank you right now in advance for the fun things that you're going to do. The simple but marvelous things that you're going to reveal. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Wow. Well, I stand here just super honored to be able to come and speak to you. I look out here and I'm like, man, I think it would be so cool if we all just sat in a big circle and just talked about different things the Holy Spirit has done in our lives. Because I look at you and I'm like, man, we've talked about all these stories. And those are some of the my favorite things is just to talk about, oh, the Holy Spirit, he showed me this, and then this thing happened, and then this thing happened, and it all came together, and it was all the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just really honored to be able to speak to you and just the opportunity. And I hope to just give you something that the Holy Spirit has shown me and that it would bless you. That's just the simple desire. So I've got 4 pages of notes because I learned at one time in my life, always come over-prepared. You don't want to come underprepared. So I don't know if we'll honestly get to all these, but I'm excited to speak to you because I know we're coming in at a place where you've got a lot of groundwork. I know you've probably done it in your own personal lives, laying the groundwork. Write down Hebrews 6 if you've got notes. Hebrews 6, please go and meditate on that scripture. That one is powerful. It says that we need to advance. It's time. The time has come for us to advance beyond the elementary principles of Christ. The time has come for us to advance beyond the elementary principles of Christ. And you could even, some say, I kind of say it's, if you go on in that scripture, it says, if you don't, there's a risk of perishing. And I'm not going to go into Calvinism and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying we are by design created to go deeper, to live a constant life that is going deeper into the heart of the Father. And so remaining stagnant and not going deeper. It even says it's time for us to advance beyond the basic and elementary principles of Christ and advance into perfection. So I get why we say I'm not perfect. I know I've said that. I know we say that a lot. But here's the reality. Christ has a vision for us that's higher than that. Christ has a vision for us that is perfection. And I'm not saying that I won't make mistakes, but that's where my sights are set. Is perfection. I accept that as my reality in Christ. I am the righteousness of Christ, and there is no flaw in his righteousness. And I am defining my life, and we are defining our existence based off of him and not us anymore. The old man is gone. The new has come. Do you need to wait for death, the first death, to enter into that perfection? I challenge you to think differently than what we've been told. we have developed, and the church commonly teaches that we need the first death to graduate into the fullness of Christ. I just challenge that. I challenge you to think differently. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your righteousness. Jesus is the one who we get everything from. And he is calling us now to enter into perfection. Be holy, be perfect as he is perfect. And if you're hearing me when I say that and you're thinking, oh man, that's a big heavy weight, then you're hearing me wrong and the Lord has something to show you. Because when you go deeper into the heart of the Father, you go deeper into grace, and you start learning how to live empowered by the wind of the Spirit. You literally become compelled by his power. So when I say we're entering into perfection, now is the time to enter perfection. We're not talking about striving. We're not talking about trying harder. That is called the flesh, which we'll talk about some more. That's the flesh. That is an aspect of the flesh. We're talking about grace. We're talking about fullness of life in the Holy Spirit. Say fullness of life in the Holy Spirit. I need to say this before I forget. This wasn't on my notes, but I felt him say, Bryce, tell them this. I felt the Holy Spirit say, tell them I am not just a person. I am a realm and a dimension. John in Revelation said, I was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We're told in, I believe it's in Galatians, walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the Holy Spirit is a person. He absolutely is a person, but he is also a dimension. He's a dimension that you simply, because you're made up of three parts, right? You have your outer court, which we're all looking at right now. You have your outer court. You have your holy place, your soul, and you have your holy of holies, where Jesus said the water would come from, in your belly, in your heart. So you are a temple, and you have three parts. Now, this middle part has the ability to look into two different dimensions. You can open this gate. This is a gate. These senses are gates. And we can use them to look into this natural realm dimension. And by faith, through union with Christ, you can set your mind on things that are above. And if you, by simply believing, I think it's John 7:37, out of your belly will come springs of living water. So by simple union, by simply setting your mind on things above, you turn your gaze to the kingdom dimension that Christ has deposited inside of you. Okay? And get this, there's even science to back that up. There's something inside of us, inside of our brains, called the pineal gland. And what they are finding is that it has the same anatomy, similar liquids that your eyeball has, but it has nothing to do with your eyeball. So you are literally by design created to be able to look into a different dimension. Can't tell if you're like, whoa, or like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Bryce. Trust me. It's so cool. You know, when it comes to like science, and I don't know why we get this thing like they're at war against each other. Like, I'm like, science is just proving all the things that's in the Word. Like, ultimately, I think it's kind of cool. So you have built inside of you the ability to look into another dimension. And actually, that gland is what releases melatonin. So when those who keep their minds set on him, he will keep in perfect peace. So, okay. Get your conscious into the realm of the Holy Spirit. Like, that's what maturing really is. At least that's what I'm discovering. When your conscience is set on this world, a lot of Christians, I did it for a long time. I tried to live the Christian life with my conscience set on this earth. And I'd even try really muscling through with scripture and stuff like that. And I never want to ever undermine Scripture. It is God's holy word. But sometimes you can just take Scripture and apply it from a mind-based Christianity. And that's what a lot of Christianity is mind-based Christianity, where it's work harder. I missed my daily prayer thing, so I need to make it up, and I feel bad. And that's all mind-based garbage. I mean, I'm all for discipline. I get that. But a lot of that stuff is just another form of legalism, and it's just honestly adding to the cross of Christ. And it makes a mockery of grace, in my opinion. And so what we're after is to live in the life of the Spirit. That's what life is all about now. Life in the Spirit, how you do that, it's like, well, what does that even mean? How do I do that? What I felt him teach me was, if you want to do anything in the Spirit, it's done by faith. Everything done in the Spirit is done by faith. Faith is a thing that's going to remain forever. Faith, hope, and love. I don't believe that when it's all said and done, faith disappears because he's wrapped up old heaven and earth. And according to the Scripture, and it's 1 John, faith goes on forever. Because faith is the evidence of things unseen and the substance of things hoped for. I guess I said that right. I might have flipped them, but you know what I mean? So by faith, you make the unseen realm a reality. So all the promises in Christ become a reality, become your inheritance by faith. So that's why faith is so important, and why Jesus, he did not, I'll never go to a person and say, well, that thing didn't happen because you didn't have enough faith. I won't do that, but I can't disregard the fact that Jesus was really serious about getting rid of unbelief in our hearts. I can't disregard that. He even looked at the disciples and said, well, they said, why can't we deliver this evil spirit out of this boy or whatever it was? And he said, you wicked and perverse generation. So he took it very seriously. I'm not going to say that to you. But he takes it very seriously. So, yeah, okay. How much time we got? Oh, boy. I didn't even get started on my notes. All right. Can everybody smile? And let a little ha-ha. Yeah. Yes, there we go. Come on. That's the Holy Spirit. What's that verse say? The kingdom is not about eating and drinking, but about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We've got to have some joy. I know I can get serious because I'm like passionate about it, but we've got to make room for joy. We've got to make room for joy because it is the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. Okay. A couple things we're just going to go through kind of quick here. Jesus is the blueprint. I don't know if we have this. Jesus is the blueprint to how our lives can and should be. We're going to go through some Scripture. You guys okay with going through some Scripture? If you hear anybody say, that church doesn't give enough Scripture, you just look at him and say, no, I came to Bryce's teaching one time, and he just gave me so much Scripture. It was ridiculous. I was tired of all the Scripture. 1 John 2:6, he who says he abides in him ought to walk just as he walked. Just think about that. Could that mean like, oh, yeah, Jesus was a nice guy. I could walk like he walked. I take it, I'm going to interpret that as everything that Jesus did is I'm commissioned to do. I might not have it all perfect. I might not have it all figured out yet, but I'm growing in that perfection, and I'm learning it. I say Jesus is the blueprint to how our lives can and should be. Okay, John 14, 12 through 4. Through union with him, we can do all that he did and greater. Didn't he say that? You can do greater things than I've done. So Jesus is the blueprint. We don't look at Jesus and say, oh, well, he could do those things because he was Jesus. I mean, yes, that's true, but he's the blueprint. He's the firstborn among many brethren. So he's calling us into that lifestyle. You guys are almost done with your first year. You know that. The Holy Spirit, we're going to switch here, keep on moving. The Holy Spirit is not second place to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not like B team. He is not a downgrade. He is the exact same as Jesus. In fact, Jesus said our situation is better than being with him in the flesh. That's what he told the disciples. It's better that I go away because I will send the Holy Spirit. One time I was, I don't know about you guys, but I was in my prayer closet. It's happened twice. And I was essentially asking the Lord for a Christophany. I was like, Lord, come on. I believe you. I crossed the chasm. I believe you are real. Now just come on. Why are you hiding? Like, reveal yourself in the flesh. I hear stories of these people who've seen you, and why are you holding back? And as I was laying there, the second time that I went back to this, he should have taught me. He taught me the first time, but I went back to it again. I was like, and I'm laying there. I'm like, Lord, come on. Just, and he's like, why are you asking for something less than what you already have? I said, Lord, I'm asking for you in the flesh. I'm asking for you right here. Why are you asking for something less than what you already have? His spirit is intertwined and mingled with my spirit. My DNA has been mixed in with his DNA. I am one with him. Wow. This is kind of cool. When I was researching when Jesus said that, it's better for me to go away. When he said, when he referred to the Holy Spirit, he said the word him. And in the Greek, that word is autos. And if you look at that meaning, it's like saying him in the third person. So Jesus, we know Jesus is the exact same as the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit, but like in the third person. It's literally the exact same. So we have Jesus intertwined, intermingled with us, inside of us. I thought that was cool. Okay, we're going to talk about different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So get ready for some of these things. I know that you guys are ready for this. And listen, what I'm about to say, some of these things, that they might rub you the wrong way. I don't know. And that's okay. I'm in my discovery process, just like we all are. And it's okay if you don't see eye to eye with me on some of these things. That is totally okay. But I just encourage you to look into these things and just see. We gotta become childlike. We need to become childlike, not know-it-alls. We gotta get out of the system of knowledge of good and evil. Much of the church is in that system. And when you start to go deeper into the heart of the Father, you start to go deeper into the kingdom. Remember, he said, eat from every tree in the garden. Don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So he's commissioned us to a life of exploration in the kingdom. So I'm just going to present to you some things that I've explored in the kingdom, some trees that I've eaten from, and you can take it or leave it. I could be wrong, could be right, but I got a lot of scripture to back it up. Just kidding. One of my favorites, first one, manifestations of being in the Spirit. Go ahead, Rob, if you got that first one. Power over sin and the flesh. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Say it again.
Amen.
Say it like I mean it.
Amen.
Don't you want power over sin and the flesh? You have it. You already got it. It's already inside of you. Every spiritual blessing has already been deposited inside of you. Woo. Okay, you ready for some scripture? Galatians 5. So I say walk. In the Greek, that could mean live. Live in the Spirit. So I say 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 live in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. I don't want to slow down and take these serious again, because I will preach grace all day, but that doesn't, sometimes people think it means you take sin lightly, Bryce. I don't take sin lightly. I just think that grace is far more powerful. And when we, sometimes, I just see people afraid of sin. What you have fear of, you empower. So, the acts of the flesh are obvious. I went through a couple of them. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy. Wow. Fits of rage, act of the flesh. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's something that the Lord showed me. The flesh isn't just acts of darkness. I referred to this earlier. The flesh, that nature, is not just acts of darkness. Paul also describes acts of the flesh as righteous acts done apart from the empowerment of Christ's resurrection power. I'll prove it to you. Philippians 3. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Why would we put confidence in the flesh if all it was dark works? Why would we have any reason to put confidence in the flesh? He's saying we put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless. But whatever were gains to me, now I consider loss for the sake of Christ. The attitude of the flesh says, I will accomplish this apart from the Holy Spirit. Fill in the blank. You can say lust, pornography, or you can say God's will. The attitude of the flesh is, I will do this apart from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I will do this by myself. I will do this that way. Doing God's will, doing righteous acts, that's what he lists off here. All these different things. I have all these reasons to boast about why I'm righteous. And he calls those things the flesh. Okay. Let's go to the next one. Supernatural fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law or no limit, depending on your translation. Isn't that good news? There's no law and no limit on the joy that you can have right now. Okay, next, the next manifestation of being in the Spirit is supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, listed in 1 Corinthians 12. Words of knowledge, increased faith, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. I'm sure we got lots of stories, and like I said, I wish we could just go around sharing them, but I want to share a few of my healing testimonies. For a long time, I probably went for about 6 months, and my knees were in such pain. This was, I don't know, probably 10 years ago or something like that. My knees were in such pain, I would have to sit at my desk at work, and I'd just rub them. I was just like, this is so painful. But set like flint. I'm just going to keep praying, and I knew that God was going to take care of it. And then John Meller came, and some of you might remember him back at the zoo, and I was literally, he's a healing evangelist from Australia or New Zealand, and I was standing on the stage at the zoo, and I've got my acoustic guitar, I've been playing for like an hour, you know how it is when you play for like an hour, and my fingers are numb, and it sounds terrible, and I'm like, oh, you gotta get off this stage. I'm doing none of the like, stuff, I'm just like, and all of a sudden, my knees, it felt like someone put like an iron on my knees. Like, not in a painful way, but it was like, oh my gosh, my knees are warm. He wasn't even praying for me. No one was praying for me. I was standing up on the stage by myself. My knees got warm. And the pain went entirely away, and I have never had that pain come back ever again. Yeah, praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. My shoulder, left shoulder, I had some intense pain in my shoulder. Happened the first night, and I was like, okay, this is all right. Like, second day came, I was like, it's getting worse. Third day came, it was really bad. And that night, I was laying in bed, and I could not sleep. It was so painful, the pain in my shoulder. And I was like, I haven't even prayed about this. Like, what am I doing? I was like, duh. So it was like midnight, and I get up from my bed, I go down to our living room, and I start pacing. And I start pacing, and I'm not for striving and stuff like that, but I was like, I'm worked up. I was like, Jesus died for this 2,000 years ago. Jesus paid for this 2,000 years ago. Jesus paid for this 2,000 years ago. 20 minutes later, I'm still going, Jesus paid for this 2,000 years ago. Jesus paid for this 2,000 years ago. And I stop, and I go, and I couldn't see anything in the flesh, but I felt a spiritual whirlwind around me. I felt like I was in the eye of a hurricane, and it was complete peace, and there was swirling things going around me. I couldn't see them with my eyes, but I knew, and I go, I'm going to get healed. And then right when I thought that, this power hit me in my shoulder, and it all of a sudden everything got tingly and like electricity, and it hit me right here, and then it moved down like this, and then it came out of, my fingertips. And I was like, and the pain went away immediately. I went and laid down, and I went right to bed. I could not sleep. I couldn't sleep. And it's never come back. Right? Isn't that God good? Oh, man. How much time do I got? My stomach. One time I had this intense pain. It was like right at the top of my stomach. Like, you know when you get food poisoning, your body just won't take it. And so it's like just stays right there. I was like, oh. Gosh. And I had, the next day, I had to drive out to Western Kansas, which was like a 4-hour drive. And I wake up and I'm like, oh no, this is going to be really bad. I'm like, I have to go, but I'm like, this is going to be bad. I don't know what I'm going to, so I'm driving, I get going on the road, I pull off into these offices that we have before I get on the highway. And I even try to force myself to throw up. I know it's bad or whatever, but I was like, I got to get this out of my system because I can't do this all day. So I try to throw up. Nothing really happens. I'm like, dang it, this is going to be really bad. I start driving. I get maybe 30 minutes to an hour in, and I'm just driving, and I'm like, I didn't pray about this yet. And I'm driving, and I'm like, I don't even remember what I did, honestly. I was just like, yeah, Jesus, you can take care of this. You can take care of this. And then in my mind, again, we can see into an unseen realm. And that's what Jesus said, I can see, I only do what I see the Father doing. What I saw was hands like a server when they roll silverware. And I saw him rolling silverware, and it was like he was rolling up the pain in the top lining of my stomach. And then all of a sudden, the pain just went away. That was all it took. It was like sha-da-da-ba-ba. It was just like, you can take care of this. I saw that as I was driving. And then the pain went away. So, wow. God's in the healing business. He is. He loves to destroy the works of the enemy. That's why he came, right? All right. So those are some, obviously, supernatural gifts of healing. I'm going to skip some of these here. I'm going to jump to the next one. Okay, this is ready. I'm going to stretch you a little bit. Go ahead. Hey, let's talk a little bit about this. Immortality and longevity. Two different things. Because of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you are now immortal, at least in the sense of abundant life. Yes, you could say everybody's immortal in some sense. We are immortal in the sense of abundant life always dwelling in us. We can't get separated from it. It's just always going to be deposited in us. It's just our reality now. Amen? Okay, now I want to talk a little bit about longevity. So, go to my scripture. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has delivered me from the law of sin and death. Yep. Now, if you look up that word death, it is not just talking about the second death. It is talking about all forms of death. That word in the Greek is Thanatos. For all you Marvel nerds, that's where Thanos got his name from. So Thanatos, if you look it up in the Greek, it means all forms of death. So there is a law, there's a law that's at work inside of you right now. Just like there was a law of sin and death at work, now there's a new law. Isn't that good? Like, it's not this, the Spirit is not just this, I don't know, thing where it's like, well, he's here, but he's not here. No, there is a law, a life-giving law at work inside of us right now. The seed of the eternal, incorruptible seed of Holy Spirit is now inside of us. And the implications are massive. Can I read to you Isaiah, actually, you know, I don't have it pulled up because it's kind of long. Isaiah 65, I want you to go and research this one. Isaiah 65, 1 through 20. I might try to get there if I can. This is wild. This is wild. Isaiah 65. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, let me see if I can get there. Where are we at? New heavens and new earth. This is going to mess with some of you. Hope you're ready for it. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For behold, I am creating Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for joy. Then I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. Now, I think I was always under the assumption that when the new heavens and new earth happens, it's like, you know, end game, game over, end of Revelation, done deal. It's kind of what I figured. But again, I'm just going to let you explore this scripture. Look at this. Then I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No longer will the voice of weeping or the voice of crying be heard in her. This is it right here. This is what I wanted to get to. Verse 20. No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days. So no longer will infants die at a young age. Or an old man who does not fill out his days. For if someone dies at 100 years, they will be considered a child. Wait a second. I thought the new heavens and the new earth happened. That's what that passage is titled. I thought everybody lives forever at that point. But he goes on to talk about people living way past their hundreds. And if you die at 100, wait, you can't die after the new heavens and new earth. Wait a second. What? Just think about it a little bit. I'm just proposing to you that the Holy Spirit, the incorruptible, immortal seed of God, who is accessed by faith and belief, can give life to your mortal bodies in a very powerful way, like Enoch way, or Elijah way, or who was it, with a dude that lived for like 1,000 years way, Methuselah or whatever. I'm just saying, don't think it's impossible, because anything, Jesus said, is possible to him who believes. And I mean, we're not these people that are after, oh, I want to live for, like, I want to, like, it's not like, it's union with the Holy Spirit is all it is. I mean, like, but anything is possible in that. And when we open our heart and our mind to limitless possibilities, you become childlike, anything is possible. And so I just want you to go and research that scripture. Go and research it. Just begin to just play with the idea. I'm not saying that, hey, I'm going to live to be, I don't know. My days are numbered and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what, but I'm looking at these scriptures and I'm looking at them with the childlike lens. Is that good? We okay to do that? Just think about it. But don't just think about it. Go after it too. Go after it too. You know what I mean? The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. And if you just sit around and wait for it to come to you, you're going to miss it. You gotta go. You gotta go after it. You gotta ask questions. You gotta research in scripture. You gotta start to go into the realm of the Holy Spirit and begin to explore. If you don't do that, then those treasures are just gonna be in the ground. They're not gonna come out to you. You gotta go and dig. Be curious. Transdimensional. Did you know we were gonna say that word today? Okay, Hebrews 12:20. But you have come to Mount Zion. Wait, you will go to Mount Zion when you die? No. You have come to Mount Zion. And to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You've already come. To an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. You have already come. You're transdimensional. You exist in two different dimensions. You exist in this dimension, but you also exist in another dimension. Ephesians 2:6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Realms, that's plural. So you might not be in just two places. You might be in pharmacy. I don't know. Anything's possible with the Holy Spirit, so. How about we talk about supernatural strength? Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. He's like, he outruns a chariot. It's wild. That's 1 Kings 18:46. All right, teleportation. Is anybody feeling happy as we say these things? Come on. It's okay. This is normal Christianity. It's okay. This is normal Christianity. You say, well, it doesn't look like it right now. Well, I'm believing for a different life. If that's not my norm, I'm gonna believe for it. And if I, in my life, and maybe I didn't see much, if I saw at least one thing, I'd say, yes, I was a part of the company of people that believed that heaven could come to earth. And it might look like a small thing, but I believed until the day that I died, until my last breath, I believed that anything is possible in the Spirit. That's the kind of person I want to be. John 6, now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over to the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark, and Jesus had come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat. Ready for this? And immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. What? I've done the geography. I've looked into the back of the Bible and looked at the map and said, well, see here, if they go, they start, they're 3 to 4 miles, and that puts them right in the middle of the sea. So immediately, as soon as they saw Jesus, they immediately are at the shore. They teleported. Okay. 1 Kings. As the Lord your God lives, okay, this is cool. This is a servant of King Ahab is sent out to go and get Elijah and bring him, or at least tell King Ahab where he's at. I forget exactly what it is, but this is what happens. So the servant gets to Elijah and says, as the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said he is not here, he took an oath for the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. So here we go. And now you say, go tell your master, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I don't know. So when I go and tell King Ahab and he cannot find you, he'll kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. So what is happening in this story, the servant gets to Elijah and says, and Elijah says, yeah, go tell King Ahab that I'm here. And he's like, I don't want to do that, because if I turn around and leave, you're going to go up in the spirit somewhere else and disappear. And I'm going to tell King Ahab that you're right there. We're going to go and see that you're not there, and he's going to kill me. So Elijah has a reputation for being carried away in the spirit. He's got a reputation for it. Ezekiel 8, and it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, and the elders of Judah sitting before me. This is a literal, like, literal situation, not in a vision. That the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. Then I looked, and there was a likeness, like the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his waist and downward, fire, and from his waist and upward, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. He stretched out the form of a hand, and he took me by a lock of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven, and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem. Was that just a vision? Was it literal teleportation up somewhere? Probably both. That's what I think anyways. Again, you're free to think however you want. But it's cool stuff. Acts 8. This one, probably many of you know, Philip. There's a lot of good stuff in here that is just like, it's so easy to breeze over. Oh man, okay. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Wait, what? Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Normal Christianity. Okay, got it. Saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down to Jerusalem, or from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Holy Spirit said, normal Christianity. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Philip preaches to the eunuch and then baptizes him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. He was teleported to, Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So he's like, poof, gone, preaching in Azotus. Wow. Okay. Gosh, we got four more still. They said I could have till 8:05. Is that okay? A few more minutes? Bilocational. You can be bilocational. Now this one sometimes rubs people the wrong way. So if you don't like it, just, I don't agree with them on that one. No big deal. I think it's real. Colossians 2:5. For though, this is Paul saying to them, the church in the Colossians, he says, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit. A lot of times we use that as like a, oh, I'm with you. I'm thinking about you. I love you. I'm not there with you, but I'm with you. But it gets a little bit like, wait, what? When he says, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness. Wait, what? You are with me in spirit. You're with them in spirit, and you're rejoicing that you can see that they're doing well. It's a little bit like, I think there's more to it than I'm just thinking about you. 1 Corinthians, Paul does it again, 1 Corinthians 5. This time it's a little bit more serious. Because there's a guy there's a person in the church that's spreading sexual immorality. So he says, For I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. See, there's more to it than just, I'm thinking about you. I'm there with you in my heart. 2 Kings, and this one's like, if you don't choose to interpret it the way I'm talking about, I can't help you. 2 Kings 5:26, but Elisha asked him, don't you realize that I was there in spirit when Naaman stepped down from his chariot to meet you? You're bilocational. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, you can be too. It's happened to me before, and COVID first started. There was a friend of mine who was going to go to the assisted living center in Clearwater, and he was going to pray over them because there was an outbreak of COVID there. It was really bad, and it was like midnight. I was like, I can't go because it's just too late and all this kind of stuff. But I was like, well, let's just see what happens. So he's gone, and I'm just sitting there and just praying, just being still before the Lord, and I just wait. That's what I do. I don't try to force anything. I just wait. I just kind of look at that fuzzy, you know, screen. And then all of a sudden, I see this one-story building with red brick, and I'm like, my perspective is about 40 feet above it, looking down on it. I see red brick, and I see a yellow light, like the old school light, you know, yellow hue. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, shalom, peace. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. So peace. And so I'm like, hey, Brandon, my friend, it's like, when you get there, can you take a picture? And I just want to see, like, how it compares to what I felt like I was seeing. And it is exactly like what I saw. It was a one-story building with red brick, and there's this yellow light that's just, like, right there shining really bright. And after I saw that, I saw this woman. After I saw what I saw with the red brick, the place, I saw this woman. I saw her waist up, and I just was like, I think her name's Debbie. I don't know. And she was not like old. Well, as he's taken, he goes, I won't do a picture. I'll do a live stream. I'm going to live stream this. So he live streams it. He's at the very front, and it's 12 o'clock, and this woman comes out in a wheelchair and looks exactly like the lady I saw. I was like, what? Don't be afraid of this stuff. Yes, there are people who do this stuff unauthorized. But Christians for so long have looked at this stuff and said, oh, that's a spiritualism stuff. Man, this is your Judeo-Christian roots, man. This is who you are. And I'm tired of them getting to enjoy the things that are our inheritance and us throwing the baby out with the bathwater. He's given us these things as gifts so we can fulfill the mission that we're here for. It's not about just being spiritual. No, it's about fulfilling the will of the Lord. We have gifts at our disposal that we've rejected because some other religion has hijacked them. It talks about it. I believe it talks about it in John 10, when Jesus says, enter in through the gate. It's a realm. It's a dimension that you can go in and out of. We can live in it. But it's one that we can simply just access by faith. Because he goes on to say, there will be people that will go in through a different way. Wait a second. People are going in to the kingdom without going through the gate that's Jesus? That's what it says. So because there are people who are doing these things apart from Christ, and I believe getting, why is it that I see people that aren't Christians learn how to meditate and have more joy than a lot of Christians? Because they are learning how to access, go into the kingdom and get things that are of the kingdom, but they're doing it unauthorized, and the Bible says they're thieves and robbers. So while a lot of Christians, what they do is they see these people going in unauthorized, and they stay at the gate, and they say, we shouldn't go in there because those icky people are going in there. So we stay at the gate of Jesus and just say, just Jesus. Just Jesus. I don't want any of that spiritual stuff. And they don't go in because they're afraid. And they've been told to believe that if you do any of that stuff, that Satan comes as an angel of light. Can I break that myth? Can I break that myth for you? Do you know what that context is actually talking about in that scripture? It's not talking about you going in the spirit and being deceived by some spirit being of light. That's not at all what that scripture is talking about. What that scripture is talking about is Paul was essentially mocking these apostles who were coming and saying you have to accept Christ and circumcision. You have to do all these extra works. And he's calling these people super apostles because, oh, look at me, I'm Christ plus all these things that I can do. He mocks them. He goes on to say, well, if anybody should boast, I should boast. Look at me, I'm a descendant of Abraham, that's me. An Israelite, that's me. I've been through beatings, he goes through all this stuff. He goes, no, but these super apostles go around masquerading like angels of light. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about being deceived by entering in to the Holy Spirit through the gate of Jesus. So don't be worried about that. Are there spirits out there that will try to deceive? Yes, but you just simply test them. You know how you do it? It's real simple. Do you believe that Jesus came through the flesh? Do you believe that Jesus came in the flesh? That's how you test the spirits. That's literally that simple. We got these things. These are ours. These are ours. I'm seeing people saved through these things. That's what I'm believing for. This is not just to be some spiritual, whoa. No, I want these things to, so he can receive his reward. Okay, gosh. Oh, gosh. Cardionosis, do you want to talk about cardionosis? Matthew 12:25. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, Mark 2:8, and Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning within themselves, Matthew 17, Peter, there's a tax situation, they're coming into the city, and a person of the synagogue pulls Peter aside and says, does your master pay the taxes? And Peter's like, yeah, of course. And then what happens after that? Depends how you interpret it. I interpret it this way. Peter is talking to this leader in that synagogue. They're talking about Jesus not paying taxes. So then they go on, and it says, oh, I don't have the scripture. Write it down. Go look at it. Peter enters the house, and Jesus immediately says, and starts talking to him about that situation. So, cardionosis. John 1:43-51, Nathanael on the fig tree, cardionosis. And that could be qualified as dreams and visions, but it wasn't just Jesus. It's not just for Jesus. Like, it's for all of us, okay? Peter did it, I believe that you could interpret it this way. Peter did it through the Holy Spirit with Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. Dreams and visions. Here we go. I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I already talked about the pineal gland, the outer courts. Our minds are set between two dimensions. Our minds are a canvas. They're a canvas for the Lord to write on. That's what I do, just to kind of give you some practical, like, one time I was like, Lord, I don't know, like, what's my mind and what's yours? I don't really know. So what I just started doing was I just sit there. And I would just be like, I'm just here to worship you. I love you. And that's really it. And you don't have to give me a vision, Lord. If you want to, that's great. And I just sit there and wait. Sometimes I just wait for an hour, nothing. That's okay. Wasn't there for that reason anyways. But I'm just simply enjoying him. And then one time, when I was simply pondering that question, I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden this eagle in here goes, whoosh, and lifts me up, and I'm riding on this eagle. I'm like, where did that come from? And then all of a sudden I go, whoosh, down like this. I was like, whoa. I go, whoosh, down like this. And then the eagle, before we did that, the eagle goes, whoosh. And I was like, what is going on? And he was showing me that the way you can tell the difference between your thoughts and his thoughts, every time you think a thought, your will, it enters the equation. And for a fraction of a second, your will tells the canvas of your mind what to think. And the Holy Spirit, it's a lot of those thoughts that just kind of come out of the blue. Those are because your will didn't get time to insert the thought. Now, I think that the Holy Spirit can talk to you, give you impressions, and then your will can be involved, and then you can think the thought. I think that's totally normal. But pay attention to the thoughts that just simply come out of nowhere. Like, where did that come? That's that like little whisper that, I don't know if this means anything, but just pay attention to those. A little fun little experience. Oh, man, I'm so sorry. Check out Wendy Backlund, right? Some of you here for the Wendy Backlund thing? Check out her Living from the Unseen, I think is what it's called. If you haven't already, it's awesome. This helped introduce me to a lot of this stuff. I checked it out, and it was kind of like practical application time, and I was like, okay, so I'll just go sit down over here, I guess, and I was just like praying, and all of a sudden, I had my eyes closed, but I could see my arm, and it was like blue flames, and I was like, I don't know, I see blue flames on my arm, and then I started looking at it some more, and I realized, oh, actually, I kind of gave the big thing. What I saw was a tattered robe. I was like, why is this robe like all shredded up into pieces, it looks like? And then I looked again, and I realized, oh, these are blue flames. I really think, personally, from that experience, that you're on fire. Like, your spirit, like, you are on fire. And I think that has something to do with the robes that you are wearing, that you are clothed in. Just my personal opinion there. The next day, I'm on the internet doing something, and it's like recommended videos, person sees Jesus in all blue. And I'm like, what? And then it was like another situation, I think the next day or the same day, where it was like Jesus or someone saw something in blue, specifically in blue. And I was just like, wow. So these little confirmations, I took them as confirmations. I was like, okay, the Lord is doing something with this. Signs and wonders, we know plenty of good stuff about that. I'll give that one story about angels. There's a guy named Gary Oates, if you want to check out his book. I think it's called Open the Eyes of My Heart. It's about experiencing angelic visitations and stuff like that. He had an experience where they were going on a mission trip to like Romania or somewhere over there, and all the people on the mission trip were, they had to switch planes, so all their luggage was getting moved around, and they were all like, oh no, this is a bad deal. Their luggage is totally going to get lost because it's a long trip over there and all this stuff. Anyways, they're on the plane. He looks out the window, he can see, and he sees an angel sitting on his luggage. You can see his luggage out there. It's out of the plane. It's on the tarmac, and he's like, and the angel's like this. They get to their destination. His is the only luggage that got there. Isn't the Holy Spirit fun? I got more notes here, but we're out of time. We talked about entering through the gate. Just enter through the gate. All these things are normal Christianity. Just enter through the gate. That's Jesus. If you enter through the gate, you don't got to worry. And the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. Study the scriptures. That's the breath of God. All scriptures God breathes. Study the scripture. Show yourself a workman approved. All that good stuff too. Absolutely. Okay. And keep knocking. Keep knocking. He loves to give good gifts to his children. I love these good gifts. Okay. That's it. Can we pray? Yeah? Yay, God! Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, we thank you right now for revealing these things. You reveal yourself to little children. The kingdom of heaven is comprised of these little children. So we make ourselves, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us to become like little children, learners in your kingdom, learners of your ways. We thank you, God, for ripping apart the boxes that we've made and leading and guiding us into all truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you. We thank you for your presence. Amen. And one more thing. All this stuff we talked about is fun stuff, but please don't misunderstand me in thinking that I'm saying this is the stuff. Like union, this is all about union with Holy Spirit. These things are just manifestations of oneness, union with the Holy Spirit. Okay?